Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody said amen. Go ahead and clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. 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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Several months ago, I felt impressed of the Holy Ghost to find time in our schedule to teach a series on worship. And so a couple of months ago, I prayerfully considered the calendar and put in some dates for a worship series. And it was just God being God that kind of got us into another series on lion encounters. And it just so happened that the last service, the last message I preached in that series was a series on praise and worship. Amen. And so just felt like the Lord has kind of catapulted us into this series now, and that for a season of time, there would be a vein of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Spirit and the voice of the Lord would want to talk to us about worship. Somebody said amen. And so it is that the vision that God has given this church and the fulfillment that God would desire to become culture in this church begins with this statement: reach up in worship to the one true God. Reach up in worship to the one true God. Every Sunday we end by saying reach up, reach out, reach in. We have felt led of the Holy Ghost to take the next couple of Thursdays. There, we may even toss in a Sunday. We'll see what the Lord would desire in order to dig into this vast subject called worship. And how many know you could go every Sunday and every Thursday in a year and still not fully capture the essence and the power and the principles of worship? But we believe God's going to help us. God's going to help us. Amen. Simply entitled Heart of Worship. I mean, how many want to have a heart of worship? A heart of worship. I believe God's going to help us and he's going to talk to us. Now, there is there's a statement that Jesus made concerning worship that has often brought a higher level of seriousness in my mind concerning worship. It's brought a sense of gravity. It's brought a sense of just a heaviness, not in a negative way, but in a positive way concerning worship. When Jesus would say these words in John chapter 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, somebody say the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Who's he seeking? He's seeking true worshipers to worship him. So if he specifies the fact that he is seeking true worshipers, then that must mean that there must be false worshipers. Am I right about it? Or, you know, and when you talk about false worshipers, so many times maybe our minds would go to people who are worshiping false gods or false entities or whatever, and we kind of just exempt ourselves from that category, and we just automatically put ourselves in with the true worshipers. But how many know, as worshipers, we can be missing the mark? As apostolics, we can be missing the mark for what true worship really is. And so it is that I don't want my worship to be based on what I think is true worship. I don't want it to be based upon what I think is acceptable worship. I don't want my worship to be based on maybe what somebody else would say is, culture would say, just religion in general would say is acceptable and true worship. I want to know that I am hitting the mark of being a true worshiper. I may know it's important. If this is what God is seeking for, I want to be the man God's seeking after. If God is seeking true worshipers, I want to be counted in the group of people that God says that's what worship looks like. That's what worship is supposed to be. Those are the people I'm looking for. I want to be numbered in the group of being a true worshiper. Somebody said amen. And again, how many know that we're only going to know that we are in that group by studying out the word of the Lord, finding from the word of the Lord what acceptable true worship is all about. And so it is, we're going to get into just a little bit of it tonight. Hopefully the next several services, the Lord will even give us greater revelation, and I know that he will. So to truly understand what worship is all about, if you've been in church any length of time, specifically this church, you've no doubt heard me mention this in the past, but in order to understand what worship is all about, it's imperative that we understand that our English word worship comes from two words, worth and ship. So from this we see that we only, hear me now, we only worship what we feel has intrinsic worth or value attached to it. That's what we worship. If we feel that it has worth to it, value to it, we worship it. With that understanding comes revelation of the fact that everybody on planet Earth is a worshiper. Everybody. You say, well, you don't know my Uncle Leroy. I don't need to know your Uncle Leroy. He's a worshiper. You say, well, he hasn't been in church for 47 years. Don't matter. He's a worshiper. In the sense that he worships something. Everybody gives worth to something. Everybody gives value to something. Therefore, all of us are worshipers. It could be money. It could be relationships. It could be self. It could be pleasure, fame, possessions. Could be 100 different things. But everybody is a worshiper because everyone sets something up in their lives as being the thing that they value the most. Does that make sense? So the question is this: are we the true worshipers that God intended and for that God desired for us to be? For if we are, then that would mean that we value God above everything else. Oh, hallelujah. That's how we know, and we're going to dig into this a little bit, but just on a blanket statement, blanket principle, if we value God above everything else, we are a true worshiper. But here's the thing. If you were to ask most any Christian if they value God in their lives and if they put God first in their lives, most all of them are going to say yes. If I ask us in that, don't raise your hand, but if I ask everybody in the room tonight, do you value God? Do you value him first in your life? I would venture to say that almost 100% of the people in the room would say, yes, we value him as first in our lives. But what are we basing that on? Are we just saying it? What are we basing that on? I'm trying to help us now. What are we basing our answer on if we were to say that we value God as being first in our lives? How many know it's got to be more than just something we say? You can't just say you value him first in your life. You actually have to value him first in your life. And how many know it's easier to say you value him first than to actually value him first? So do we base it? If we were to answer, yeah, we value God first and we put him first in our life, do we base that upon the fact that we come to church? Because how many know you can come to church and still not put God first? Well, I'm in church Thursdays and Sundays. That doesn't mean we put God first. Do we base it upon the fact that we've got the Holy Ghost? Because I know some people with the Holy Ghost that don't put God first. Do we base it on the fact that we've been baptized in Jesus' name? Do we base it upon the fact that we're involved in some kind of ministry? So maybe in our minds, the way we think is, because I'm doing some ministry, I'm obviously putting God first. But how many know you can do ministry and not put God first? How can we know that we truly value God as being first in our lives? And by ascribing to him the highest value of worth that we have to offer. Worth-ship. The highest worth is true worshiper. The book helps us when it gives us this command in Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye, what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we understand that it's not some pastor telling us to put God first in every area of our lives. You need to put God first in this, that, and the other. It's the words of Jesus himself. Put the kingdom of God first, his righteousness first. Therefore, in order to know if we value God above all else, we need to take an honest, introspective look into our lives. And I hope this is what this series is going to help us do and understand. We need to take an honest, introspective look into our lives in order to determine if we give our time first to God, our talent first to God, our treasure first to God. Don't go getting quiet on me now. For we will give the first and the best of who we are to what we value the most in our lives. How many know that? I've got buddies, just to kind of illustrate this. Back in the day, I used to like to golf a little bit, and I had buddies that were like, man, I just don't have time to golf. I just don't have time to golf. Cox, I don't know where you get the time to golf. And I'm like, well, how much softball did you play this week? Well, I'm in two leagues, play Monday night and Thursday night. You see, it's not that you don't have time to golf. It's that you don't value golf. You value something else. And because you value something else more than you value golf, then you make time for what you value the most. Am I right about it? And so we give our time and our talent and our treasure to what we value the most. So, does our daily conversation prove that we put him first? Let's just take today for example. Did what we talk about today prove to all that would care to see or notice that we put God first in our lives? Was anybody able to tell by our actions today that we put God first in our lives? Did we put him first in this day today? Does our lifestyle show we put him first? Does how we live show? Does how we talk show? Does how we dress show that we put him first, his will first in our lives? Does the amount of time we spend with him show that we put him first in our lives? Do the goals of our lives prove we put him first? Do the deepest desires of our hearts verify the fact that we put him first? Somebody said amen. Our checkbooks and our bank statements evidence. Another preacher talking about money. No. Time, talent, treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your heart is going to be where in the thing and towards the thing that you value the most. Can we use our bank statement as evidence, end of the year statement as evidence that God is first in our lives? Oh, hallelujah. Well, and I just, you know, I can't pay, I can't give my tithes this month because the cable bill's due. Come on, somebody. What is first? What is first in our lives? Do we arrange our schedules around him, or do we arrange him around our schedules? What's first? If he fits in to what we're doing, we'll allow him the slot. But if he doesn't fit in, then we'll just kind of say, well, we'll catch you next time. Does he have top priority over everything else in our lives? Is he the final voice in our living? Is he the principal figure in our life? The central being to all that we do and all that we think? In him we live. Him we move. In him we have our being. If he is first, that verse is a reality in our lives. That I don't move unless it's in him. And I don't go unless it's in him. And I don't act unless it's in him. And I don't make a decision unless it's in him. He's my counselor. He's my guide. He's my light. He's my fortress. He's my trust. He's my deliverer. He's my direction, my way maker. It's in him. It's in him. Why? Because he's first. He's first. He's preeminent. Jesus. He's the preeminent being of my life. I value him above all else. There's no other throne in my life other than him. And he alone sits on the throne of my heart. He alone has the heart strings. He alone directs my path. His word alone orders my steps. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I only go where he says go. I only do what he says do. I only walk where he says walk. My decisions are not based on what I want. My decisions are based upon what he wants. Why? Because I value him highest above all else. I give him the highest worth. The highest spot. Somebody said amen. Woo. He's more important to me, or to have him as value and worth above all else means that he's more important to us than anybody else. We don't go to him third. We go to him first. We don't call everybody else for direction and insight and understanding and then get around to maybe talking to God. We talk to him first because I care more about what he says than what anybody else says. His word is more powerful, more important, more valuable than any other message. His will is weightier than any other imperative. Now, it's maybe easy to amen in principle, but I want to help us to understand, because back to the original point, if we were to ask all of us, if we put him first, we would all say yes. But I want us to understand that maybe we need some instruction. For instance, if we give 50 hours a week to social media and 5 hours a week to God, What are we saying that we value the most in our lives? Somebody said amen. I'm not picking on the social media people. I'm just stating a point. It could be the binge watchers. Binge watch all kinds of stuff, you know, 30 hours a week binge watching. Can't wait to get home because we're going to watch this whatever. Tuesday night shows are on. I love my whatever. And we watch all this stuff, hours. But we only give God a few hours of our time on a Thursday and a Sunday. If that's the case, I'm not beating you up. I'm simply asking us to maybe take another look, and maybe we shouldn't be so quick to say, yeah, I put God first in my life. Yeah, I'm a true worshiper. Maybe we should just kind of back it up a little bit and say, God, I might need a little help in this area. If we have problems, if we have no problem being emotionally, mentally engaged to a two-hour movie, but we can't pay attention in a church service. What are we saying that we value the most? Man, watching a movie and we're on the edge of our seats. Edge of our seats. House of God, we're yawning. What do we value the most? If we would never think. I know I'm preaching to the midweek crowd, the faithful individuals. But if we would never think about leaving work early so that we could get home, but have no problem of walking out of an altar service early in order to get home, what are we saying that we value the most? We would never, ever think about, you know, I know work clocks out at 5, but I'm just ready to go home. So 4 o'clock, I'm out of here. I don't care about the extra hour pay. I just want to get home. Most people wouldn't do that. But what about on a Thursday or a Sunday when service is going a little long because we're trying to pray some people through to the Holy Ghost? Or because we got somebody up here that needs deliverance, or somebody up here that's a backslider that's trying to pray back through and they're having a hard time with it and they need a little help and a little encouragement and it takes a little time and the individual's saying, I just want to get home. I just want to get home. What do we value the most? We read all kinds of books for school or work or pleasure, but we never read the word of the Lord. What are we saying that we value the most? Can we say I'm a true worshiper and I don't read my word? If we push out for work when we're tired but stay home from church when we're tired, what are we saying we value the most? What are we saying? If we don't mind at all giving of our talents for a paycheck, but we never use our talents because we're too busy for the kingdom of God. We don't use our talents for the kingdom. What are we saying that we value the most? Listen, I'm not belaboring the point today. I'm trying to just give a few examples of what it might look like so that we can kind of begin to think, even if none of these apply to us, I'm hoping maybe some things begin to go off in our brain a little bit. And we begin to make some applications that, you know what, that illustration didn't necessarily hit home, but man, it sure reminded me of something. I want that in my life tonight. I'm not just preaching to everybody else. I'm preaching to me tonight. I don't want to just say I'm a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not belaboring the point, but if we do not understand this concept of placing the greatest value we have to give onto the God of our creation, then we will never, ever, ever understand what worship is all about. Ever. We'll be doing something that's not worship at all. or we'll be doing it in a very shallow and insignificant way. If we do not understand the importance of placing value on Him that is higher than any value we place on anything else. See, because too many Christians, and I need the Lord's help tonight, too many Christians have a false understanding that worship is about clapping and singing. And they're missing the point altogether. They're missing it all. So when somebody says something about worship, they automatically go, oh, he's talking about this. He's talking about this. He's talking about, And if we're not being true worshipers, because we're missing the point, because we don't understand what worship really is, then we're not being who God called us to be. And we're not going to be in that number when God is saying, I'm seeking after true worshipers. How many want to be who God called you to be? I don't want to just sit on a pew. I want to be a worshiper. I don't want to just be a part of a church. I want to be the worshiper that God called me to be. So I need help to understand what it looks like to be a worshiper. And if it contradicts maybe what I've previously thought, then I want to allow the word of the Lord to check my spirit and a spirit of revelation to come upon me so that I can be a worshiper that God's called me to be. Somebody said amen. True worship is all about placing the greatest value on Him. On Him. The book would say it like this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, it was interesting to me, Pastor Ron. It was interesting to me as I was kind of studying this. I saw something I had never seen here before in a different translation, because a different translation of the same verse reads like this. For this reason, I make request to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you will give your bodies as a living offering, holy, pleasing to God, which is the worship it is right for you to give Him. Oh, hallelujah. We want to worship right. We want to be true worshipers. The word of the Lord is telling us there is a worship that when you do it, it is right. It is the right worship for us to give. Remember, again, we're talking about being a true worshiper. And the book is telling us that the worship that is right for you and I to give requires us to sacrifice ourselves. Is that what it says? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The worship that is right, if you will present your body a living sacrifice, then that is the worship that is right for you to offer Him. It's not a false worship. It's not a less than worship. It's not a worship that's missing the mark. It is a right, correct, biblically accurate worship. And it starts with your willingness to sacrifice yourself on an altar. Come on, Jesus. Why? Because when we sacrifice ourselves on an altar, then that lets Him know that we do not value ourselves more than we value Him. I sacrifice myself because I have esteemed you as first. My dreams sacrificed because I value what He desires for my life greater. Are we starting to understand that it's more than just? There's power behind it. There's depth behind it. There's significance and structure, and there's depth to all of this. That's why you step into some places and they're clapping and they're singing, but you feel absolutely nothing. There's no depth to it because they have an understanding that worship is about a song and it's about a clap, but it's not. Worship is about an altar. Ooh, come on, Jesus. It's about an altar of sacrifice that I'm willing to crucify myself, my flesh, because I care more about what he wants. My ambitions sacrificed because I care more about what he wants for my future than for what I want for my future. My will sacrificed because I want his will to be done more than I want my will to be done. And that's a whole lot harder than just jumping in a worship service a little bit. So many want worship to be all about singing a nice little song and tapping their toe in church a little bit. But we got to understand that worship has much greater significance. And it expects greater requirement out of you and I than maybe what we even know. Ooh, come on, Jesus. There's expectations for a worship. That's why we can't just be faithful to the house of the Lord whenever we want to and come in and sing a little song and wave our hands a little bit and say we're being a worshiper. Because that is living for God in convenience, not sacrifice. Not sacrifice, convenience. And we cannot live for God out of convenience and expect to be a true worshiper.